Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 6th chapter of Hilchos Machlos Asurot. In this parak, the Rambam discusses the prohibition of consuming dam, blood. Halacha Aleph. Ochel kazayis min adam, b'mezid chayv karis, b'shogeg may be chatas kavua. If one consumes an aleph-sized portion of blood, knowingly, willingly, recognizing that this was forbidden, then he is liable for excision. If it was done inadvertently, then he is liable to bring a fixed sin offering. V'davar meforesh b'torah, she'eino chayv el adam behema chayv of bilvad. Bein tmein, bein tohorin. Shneimar, b'chol dam lo sochlu, b'chol moshu seichem, lo'ov b'la behema. V'chai b'chlal behema, shneimar, dusa behema, asher tochlu shor, v'gomer, ayel, v'tzvi, v'gomer. The Torah explicitly said that one will only be liable for these punishments if they consume the blood of either a domesticated, undomesticated animal, or a bird. Those alone, whether they are kosher or non-kosher species, as the Pasuk said, and any blood you shall not eat in all of your dwelling places, whether a bird or a domesticated animal. And then the Rambam clarifies, even an undomesticated animal can be grouped under that term, behema, which generally refers to domesticated animals, as the Pasuk says, that this is the behema that you can consume, and it lists both domesticated and undomesticated creatures. With regards to other types of blood, the blood of fish, of locusts, of various creepy crawly creatures, the blood of a human being, for these, one is not liable for this prohibition of blood. Mutter la'achlo v'afilu k'nasa b'kli, so mutter. Accordingly, the blood of kosher, fish, or locusts, one is permitted to consume. And that's even if he gathers it up in a cup and drinks it. That is permitted. V'dam ha'gavim v'dagim t'meim, asur, mishom shehu tamtis gufan, kachela behema t'meim. With regards to the blood of non-kosher species of locusts or fish, those are forbidden, but not because of the prohibition of dam itself, rather because that is something which comes from their flesh, just like their milk would be. With regards to the blood of creepy crawly creatures, that counts as their flesh, as the Ram has explained. With regards to human blood, that is forbidden on a rabbinic level to consume if it has actually left the person's body. Accordingly, if one consumes it, they will receive lashes of rebellion on a rabbinic level. However, if one is bleeding in their mouth, blood that has come forth from one's teeth, that one is allowed to consume, swallow it, and he doesn't have to withhold. With regards to somebody who had bit into a piece of bread, let's say, and discovered that there had been some blood from his mouth on it, so he should scrape off the part of the blood, and then afterwards he can continue to eat it. In that case, he must do so because the blood has left his body and therefore is forbidden. One will not be liable for excision on any blood other than that which has come forth at the time when it's slaughtered or killed, as the blood is flowing forth and is very red. It's the blood that has that redness to it. In addition to the blood which is collected inside of the heart. And with bloodletting blood, so that blood, as long as it's still flowing freely, then that blood will also make one liable. With regards to other blood related to bloodletting, that blood that begins or ends the bloodletting flows much slower. It just begins to trickle, drips out. And therefore, that blood is not something one will be liable for excision with, because in that case, it's like blood that's inside of the limbs, as the Rambam will detail. It's only the blood that flows forth powerfully through which the soul is viewed to exit. Halacha Dalet. Dama tamtis v'dam ha'ivarim, kagon dam ha'tchol, v'dam ha'kloyos, v'dam beitzim, v'dam ha'skanis, alev, b'shash shchita, v'dam ha'nimsa v'ha'kaved, ein chayv alav karis. With regards to blood that has been collected within certain limbs, such as the blood of the spleen, or the kidneys, the testicles, the blood that is collected in the heart at the time when one slaughters the animal, or the blood that's found in the liver, all of these, one will not be liable for excision. However, if one does consume an olive-sized portion of them, they will receive lashes. Any blood you should not consume. With regards to the specific punishment of excision, there the Pasuk says, Ki nefesh habasar b'dam hi, that the soul of the flesh is within the blood. One is only going to be liable for excision if one consumes blood through which, again, the soul of the animal is viewed to exit with. With regards to a fetus found inside of the belly, the womb of an animal, its blood is like the blood of a born animal. Accordingly, the blood found gathered within its heart, that is something, if one consumes, that they will be liable for excision with. However, with regard to any other blood found, that is like the blood within the limbs. If one wishes to consume the heart of a kosher species of animal, then whether one wishes to roast it, whether one wishes to cook it in a pot, one must first tear open the heart, take out the blood, and then afterwards salt it. If, however, one had cooked it first and had not torn it, then one can tear it after the cooking, and it's still permitted after the fact. And if, even in that case, he doesn't tear it open, he just eats it anyhow after having cooked it, then he will not be liable for excision. When is that true? The Rambam now qualifies. That's if we're dealing with the heart of a kosher bird. Because in that circumstance, we assume that there will not be enough blood to hit the requisite amount of an olive-sized portion. If we are dealing, however, with the heart of an animal, then the person will be liable for excision, because in that circumstance, the heart is large enough that it can have the requisite amount of an olive-sized portion of blood, and he will be liable for excision. Halacha Zayin. If one wishes to consume a kosher liver, how does one purify it from its blood? If he cut it open first and threw it into vinegar or into water, which is boiling to the point where it becomes white, then it is permitted to cook it afterwards and consume it. However, the custom amongst all of Klal Yisrael at this point is to first roast it over a flame, and then afterwards to cook it, whether one wishes to cook it all on its own, or whether one wishes to cook it along with some other meat. Similarly, the accepted custom is that brains of an animal are also not cooked or roasted until they're first singed, roasted over a flame. If a liver had been cooked without first having been roasted over this flame, or without first having thrown it into this vinegar or boiling water, in that circumstance, the entire pot is going to be forbidden, both the liver and anything that was cooked along with it. However, it is permitted to roast a liver along with meat on one spit. This is assuming, though, that the liver is below the actual meat. However, if one had transgressed and roasted it while the liver was on the top of that single spit, in that circumstance, it is still permitted to eat. With regards to the spleen, if it has been unsalted, it is still permitted to cook it, even along with meat, because it's not really blood that's inside of it, rather it's meat which kind of seems like blood. Hashover mifrekes behema kodem shetetin nafsha, hari adam nivla beibar, v'asr lecho imena basar chai, v'afilu chalata. If one breaks the neck of an animal before it's fully died, then the blood is assumed to have been absorbed within its limbs, and it is forbidden to eat from it raw meat, even if you had first put it in burning water. Eliketa yaseh, rather, what should you do? Yachtu chachticha v'imlach yafeh yafeh v'achagach yivash ol yisleh. First, you should cut off the piece, and then you should salt it very, very well. And then afterwards, you can cook it or roast it. Rambam has already explained that if one slaughters any sort of animal and no blood comes forth, then they are permitted. Meat will not lose all of its blood until one salts it very, very well, and then washes it off very, very well. Rambam now will describe this process. First, you rinse the meat. Afterwards, you salt it very well, and you leave it there in its salt. The amount of time that would take for a person to walk a mil, roughly 18 to 22 minutes. Afterwards, you wash it very, very well, until the water seems to be very, very pure and clear after you've washed it. And then immediately you throw it into some boiling water, but not into lukewarm water, in order to at that point it will become white immediately and no more blood will come out. When one does this process of salting the meat, one only salts it in a vessel which has holes. And also, one only uses salt, which is very thick, coarse, just like very thick sand. Because it's a very fine type of salt, then if it's so fine, like flour, it will be absorbed into the meat and won't bring forth the blood. And one must first shake off the salt that was on the meat before you wash it off. This is all with regards to cooking. Everything that's been described in regards to the salting. However, if you wish to roast it, one can simply salt the meat and then roast it immediately. If one wishes to consume meat while it is still raw, you just salt it very, very well, and then wash it off very well, and then afterwards you can consume it. If, however, he causes it to be sealed off by inserting it into vinegar, in that case, it's permitted to eat it while it's raw. And it's still permitted to drink, to consume that vinegar which it had been stuck within, because the vinegar is not assumed to extract any blood. With regards to vinegar that had once been used to seal off meat in this fashion, you should not use it again to do so a second time. With regards to a piece of meat which turned red when it was in the vinegar, so then both it and the vinegar are forbidden to eat, and the only way to fix it would be by salting it very, very thoroughly and then afterwards roasting it. If meat has begun to turn red, and similarly, if one has the testicles of an animal, or various membranes of an animal, or the neck of the animal, all of these have large amounts of blood within them, so then it's permitted to cook them if you first cut them open and salt them as is necessary. But if you did not do so, and instead you roasted them on a spit, so then they'll only be permitted if the neck was roasted with the open part facing down, or you roasted all of them on the coals themselves. If one is dealing with the head of an animal that you were roasting in an oven or in some other type of furnace, if it was hung and the place where the slaughter had occurred is facing downward, so then it's permitted because the blood will drip out. If, however, the place of the slaughter was facing sideways, so then the brain becomes forbidden, because the blood within it will continue to gather within. However, in that case, all the other meat around the bones on the outside, that is permitted. If the nose was facing downward, if one had prepared for this ahead of time by sticking a straw or a reed into the nose, so that way it will stay open and blood can come flowing through it, then in that case, one can still consume the brain. But if not, then the brain is going to be prohibited. One is not allowed to place a vessel beneath something which is roasting in order to catch the various types of juice that might spill forth from it until all the redness has left that juice. So what should you do? One should simply put some salt into that vessel ahead of time, and then leave the vessel there until after it's finished roasting, and then take the fattiness which is on top of it. Any of the liquidy, watery type substance which is below that fattiness, however, is forbidden. With regards to roasted meat, which is cut open over a piece of bread, so that you're still allowed to eat the bread, because any liquid which had come out from it is only going to be considered fat. If one salts fish along with birds in the same vessel, even if it has holes, nonetheless, the fish are going to become forbidden because fish is assumed to be very soft and will absorb the blood which comes forth from the bird. And it goes without saying, if you had salted a fish along with something which has even more blood, such as a domesticated or undomesticated animal. Halacha Yud Zayin. Opo shenichon shlemim, umilei chalalan basar ubeitzim, ubishlan, asuros, sharei dam yotzi letochan, v'afal pi, shemalchan yafa yafa. If somebody leaves a bird complete and fills into its belly meat and eggs and cooks it, so in that circumstance, all that is going to be forbidden because the blood is going to flow directly into it. This is even if he had salted it very well. This is also even if the meat within it had already been cooked or roasted. If, however, you had roasted the bird in this fashion, then they are permitted. Even though the meat within them is raw, and this is even if their mouth, the opening, was facing upward. If somebody had done the same type of thing to fill intestines that had not been salted with either roasted or cooked meat or with eggs, and then you cooked them or roasted them, in that case it's going to be permitted. And the understanding is because we don't assume that there's going to be blood left in the intestines to seep into these things. And in fact, this is how the Gaonim ruled, the Rambam tells us. Halacha Yud Tes. Ovos shetfalin b'batzeik utzvon bein shleimim b'machutachin, im tfalin b'soles gasa afilu hismika hatvela ochel es hatvela m'nei shesoles gasa mismar pepes v'yotei adam. V'im tfalin b'kemachitim shelas son, im haisa hatvela levana kemo hakesef mutru le'achom imena, v'im lav asura. Tfalin b'shar kemachin, im hadimu asurin, v'im lo hadimu mutar. With regards to various birds you are cooking along with some coating of flour. So then it will depend what type of flour we are dealing with. If it was coated with very coarse flour, whether it was cut or the meat was in whole portions, so in that circumstance, you can still eat that coating even if it comes kind of red. The understanding being that coarse flour will ultimately crumble and the blood will flow out of it. However, if they are coated with wheat flour that had previously been wet before it had been ground, in that circumstance, it's permitted to eat from this type of coating if it's white, like silver would be white. Otherwise, though, you are not allowed to eat it. And if there was some other flour that was being used, they are going to be permitted until they actually turn red. If they turn red, then they become prohibited. Halacha Chaf. Sakin sheshachepa asur lachtuch baruseach ashilavin asakin baor o yashchizena b'mashchazes o yonatzena b'karka kasha eser pamin. A knife which has been used to slaughter an animal with, it is forbidden to cut something hot with it until when it's first cleansed it, either by sticking into a flame to the point where it becomes white hot, or until one sharpens it on a sharpener, or until one sticks into hard ground 10 times. Ultimately, though, if one did cut something hot with it, that hot item remains permitted. Similarly, one is ideally not supposed to use it to cut something which is sharp, such as a radish or the like. If one had first cleaned off the knife, either by washing it off or scrubbing it with a vessel, then in that circumstance, it is permitted to cut something sharp, such as a radish, but not something which is hot. Halacha Chaf Aleph, the final halacha in the parak. Kara shemalach babasar, afilo haisa shoa ba'avar, asar le'echo ba'roseach lo'olam, shekvar nivla adam b'charoseach. If meat had been salted in a bowl, it's forbidden to eat hot food in that bowl for eternity, for all time, because the blood has already been absorbed into the clay of that vessel. This is true even if the clay, the pottery, has been covered with lead, and you might think it wouldn't absorb as much. Either way, it has absorbed the blood and is forbidden to use it. Have a wonderful day.